Well, tonight, let me tell you kind of where the burden of my heart was. You can be turning to Matthew 9. I'll tell you how I got to Matthew 9. I've been praying with a burden that give you some idea what my burden was by the title of the message. I titled the message, Maintaining Spiritual Health. Let me tell you what I'm seeing and what I've been seeing for some time. I think of all the people I've known who once had their shoulder to the wheel. You could count on them. I'm telling you, they're hitched up. They're pulling all they can pull for God. They're living for the purpose of serving God. And so many of them people right now are not doing anything for God. And that involves folks that were once doing something for God in this church and of other churches. I don't mean that just for Morningside, but I certainly include us. And somewhere along the way, they did not maintain their spiritual health. Folks, to maintain your spiritual health, let me see if I can give you an analogy that could help you. If you get up in the morning, Lord forbid, and something is hurting you, if you get up in the morning and something is hurting you that's not hurt you before, if you get up in the morning and you feel flushed in the face like you've got a fever, if you get up in the morning and you're feeling a sense of nausea in your stomach, if you get up in the morning and something is just not right in your body, you will probably take the routine approach that, am I getting sick? What is that I'm feeling? And you begin to give it attention, and as the day wears on, you're either going to get better, and until you are, you may be mindful of what you eat or what you drink, and you begin to give consideration, if this thing doesn't get better, I may have to see somebody and give me some help. And anybody that doesn't do that, there's something wrong with their thinker, because you want to stay in good shape physically. You give attention to it. You're sensitive to what's going on biologically within you. Folks, in order to maintain spiritual health, we have to be sensitive to what's going on in our spirit. Is my heart getting cold? Am I a little indifferent? Am I finding that I'm making jokes about things that's not really as funny as they are, just really carnal? That I don't have the passion that I once had for lost people. I don't have the desire I once had for the Bible. I'm not spending as much time in prayer as I once spent. I'm not finding that my service to God through the church is bringing me the joy that it brought me one time. Folks, those are signs of spiritual sickness. And we must maintain our spiritual health. Now, therein was the burden of my heart as I have talked to the Lord about this and prayed over this for weeks and just would read the scriptures and give thought to what I'm reading and just see if God wanted to speak to that. And out of all of that, I brought you to Matthew chapter 9 tonight as I ask the question or deal with the subject, maintaining spiritual health. Maybe if I was going to put that in question form, I would raise the question, what does it take to maintain spiritual health? If it takes something to maintain it, wouldn't we want to maintain our health? Wouldn't it be a tragedy tonight? Now you think about it just a moment. Would it not be a tragedy tonight if the Lord had a way to show us that in less than 12 months, Brother Wayne won't even be in the ministry? Would that bother some of you? Well, it ought to bother you that that's a potential, not only for Brother Wayne, but that's a potential for you. That in less than 12 months, you're no longer going to be attending church. You won't be married to the person you're married to. You won't be serving God as you've been serving God, and you will have found an interest that is a passing interest that has absolutely no eternal significance to it whatsoever. And yet you've quit giving yourself to what has eternal significance, and you're just out, for lack of a better term, you're just out chasing windmills. That's all you're doing. Now, folks, I want to maintain my spiritual health. And I may be a weaker man when I die than I am now physically, but I'd like to hope I could be a stronger man spiritually than I am right now. Paul talked about on one occasion that he said that his outward man was perishing day by day, but his inward man was being renewed day by day. Isn't that what we all want? Now, we hope we don't perish on the outside. We just do all we can to keep our bodies going, and we all understand the value of good physical health. But we also want to be people who understand the value of good spiritual health. May I read the text, Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, as I read through the end of the chapter, which is verse 38, just four verses. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now many times this text is dealt with to talk about bringing in a harvest. And I'm certainly not opposed to that. But tonight I want to talk to you about what the text indicates are key elements and how we maintain our spiritual health. First of all, in verse 35, the verse said that Jesus went about those cities and villages and he taught in the synagogues and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, you know when it says that what he was doing. He was preaching the message of salvation, how a person can become a citizen of the eternal kingdom of God and not just a citizen of the kingdom of this earth, which is, by the way, a kingdom that is passing away. Folks, the kingdoms of this world are passing away. Whoever is number one in anything tonight will not be number one in the generation to come. We who have followed sports of all kinds have seen people who were the greatest. There was a generation when you said Mickey Mantle, you said it all. There was an earlier day when you said Ty Cobb from Royston, Georgia. He was the person who had set records, some of which, as far as I know, are still holding today. When you mentioned boxing and you said either Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, you had said what many still believe to be the greatest heavyweight boxer that ever lived. But folks, he was the heavyweight champion of the world. He's not the heavyweight champion of the world. Mickey Mantle no longer is a home run leader. Ty Cobb is no longer a leader among those that got base hits. Those who once were are no longer the leaders in that respect. We came through the years of Ronald Reagan as president, and so many of us in this land felt like God has certainly given us a reprieve, and in some ways he did, but Ronald Reagan is not president of the United States. Jesus was talking about two different kingdoms, one that was passing away, the kingdom of this earth, and one was the kingdom of God, and he preached that kingdom so the people could learn to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's kingdom is coming on this world. This kingdom is passing away, and repent before it is everlastingly too late. It is the same message that the forerunner John the Baptist preached, and when Jesus arrived on the scene, he preached the same thing. We learn from this that the first thing we need to know to maintain spiritual health is this: aggressively stay focused on Jesus. There's not going to be any spiritual health unless we aggressively stay focused on Jesus. Did you know you can be wide awake driving your car down any highway or interstate? And did you know you can have a degree and have finished back when you were in high school, driver's ed, and you can even be a stunt driver. But if two cars took a notion to get together and pass when it was going to do something to you, did you know they could drive you off the road and just take over the road and you find yourself leaving the road not to have a head on? You would be willing to do something that normally you wouldn't do for anything because you're too skilled of a driver. They can just run you off the road. Now, folks, listen to me. Life has things that can absolutely take your focus off of Jesus unless you, and I chose that word intentionally, aggressively stay focused on Jesus. Tomorrow morning, you may be so full of Jesus at 8 o'clock, you can't hardly get your breath, and you're wanting to tell the whole wide world how much he means to you, and you let a person full of the devil get a hold of you before 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden, it will have rained on your party, and that which you felt less than an hour earlier, you may not feel that way, and all of a sudden, you're going to have to aggressively get your mind focused back on what's going to really matter on down the road for the rest of the day. Now, folks, listen to me. If somebody at 9 o'clock in the morning acts an idiot toward you while it can rain on your party, it doesn't have to be the emphasis of the rest of your day. And it's going to be left up to just you and I if we're going to get our minds back and focus them on what they need to be focused on. And I'm telling you, folks, tonight when I say some are not with us, I'm not just talking about Morningside, I'm talking about in the service of God, some are not with us because they lost their focus on Jesus. And they thought somehow that I can leave this thing on autopilot. And as long as I show back up at dear old Morningside next Sunday, I don't have to do a whole lot in addition to that. And everything is just going to kind of run on its own and all is well. And that is not the way. Not only is that not the way it works, that's not the way it's ever worked. You've got to watch where you're going when you drive. You've got to watch the other guy sometimes more than you watch yourself. And you've got to start watching in life what is happening spiritually and be sure that you don't get sucked up into that which many times has the right name on it, but it does not have substance associated with it. And before you know it, you have gotten comfortable. Are you listening to me? You have gotten comfortable with preachers and churches that call for nothing. It only takes one little visit on Sunday so you can check it off the list. And before you know it, you've taken the abundance of your life and devoted it to something that's passing. And just a little ways down the road, you've lost all the joy in your marriage. You've lost the joy of your work. You don't participate with your children as you once did. And it all started because back here, you didn't think it was such a big deal. Folks, it's always a big deal when something is claiming your attention other than the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, does he have to get it all? Well, whatever he doesn't get, who are you giving it to? And is it helping you with the remainder? Is it helping you give it to Jesus? I'm telling you, folks, you're not going to maintain your health unless you aggressively stay focused on Jesus. And Jesus went through the villages and synagogues, and he could have talked about a lot of things. Did you know he could have talked about how he created the planets and the universe? Did you know the Bible says he's the creator of everything and there's not anything created that Jesus didn't create? Did you know that's what the Word of God states? But he kept his talk and his focus on the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is that you were lost and alienated and undone. You are only a part of this kingdom. And God in mercy has interrupted your pathway to destruction, has called you through the gospel unto himself, has given you a purpose to live, has made you accepted through the beloved one, has something for you to do for time, is going to usher you one of these days into eternity. And in the meantime, we don't need to get sidetracked with that which is passing away. Boy, that really went over big, didn't it? We are the most distracted people in this moment we have ever been in my lifetime and maybe in the history of mankind. You say, Pastor, you don't have a basis to make that. Let me tell you why I think that. The previous generation didn't have to check Facebook all the time. Now, they had things to distract them, but we've got more. We take a smartphone and put it in the hands of a kid and then wonder why the kid ends up on pornography. Because there's no filter, and you just hand it on porn when you hand it to them. Well, you know, that's the real world now. Mm-hmm. And it is the world that is causing and calling people into all forms of distraction. And while there's more to pull us away, there's less leadership among the New Testament church to tell people that world is becoming more open to vice and degradation and debauchery, and we've got to be more on our guard not to let the world out there take our thoughts and create an interest in us that begins to cause a diminishing of spiritual strength in our hearts to the end that by the time we die, we've thrown away most of what we once embraced. God help us. So, aggressively stay focused on Jesus. Number two. In verse 36, he said there that when Jesus saw those multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now, when he saw what? What did he do there to the multitudes? He, what's that S-A-W word? Saw. Folks, Jesus saw something. I happen to think that if he saw something, he must have been looking for something. When he saw the multitudes, he said when he saw them, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. The word fainted means they were kind of people of a spiritual nature that was kind of worn out and exhausted. They'd been beaten up, and you know what the world out there is going to do to you when you don't focus on the kingdom of God? It's going to beat you up. It's going to use you and abuse you and kick you to the curb like an old worn-out toy. That's what it does. And they were scattered, he says in the text. Look at it, abroad. They were thrown to the ground helpless, just like a sheep that has no shepherd. You know what a sheep does that has no shepherd? Wanders around. Don't know where it's at, not for sure how it got there, and don't know where to go. Maybe about to fall over into a precipice and break its legs. Maybe going to be eaten just around the next corner by the wolves. Has no concept. Now, Jesus is moved with compassion on them because they're just like sheep. And here's the principle. If you're going to maintain some spiritual health, you got to protect your heart against indifference. Indifference. Folks, the sheep is indifferent to the ravine. The sheep is indifferent to the wolf. Time the sheep sees the wolf, it's too late. He's dead. Or what's got him by the throat. He has no defenses against that. And we have to protect our hearts from indifference. We want to be people who our faith is not necessarily worn on our sleeves, but our lifestyle indicates that we have a different value system. We're not indifferent to the gospel. We're not indifferent to the values that Jesus has established in my own heart, and it was by the grace of God and the influence of a pastor when I was 15 years of age. I just somehow, and it was just God. You know, I thought the things of God could not be separated from the emphasis of the local church. And buddy, you need to be finding out what has happened to me or my family if the church meets and I'm not there. Because I'm not indifferent to what the church is doing because I said I love Jesus and I want an emphasis on the kingdom. And so if they were going to knock on doors, I was going to be a part of knocking on doors. If we're going to have a big cook off and feed people, then I'm going to be around the grill. Pastor, what can I do? I want to be a part of just putting my energies to work because in order to maintain my spiritual health, I want Jesus to be focused, but Jesus will never be focused on a heart that's indifferent toward what God's program is in the moment. I want it to be known I am supportive of it. Sometimes it is your presence that encourages other people. Can I just tell you something that I hope you'll understand? Do you know what? Now listen carefully. Don't misquote this. Do you know what could be my most wasted time as your pastor? Sunday afternoon at 4:30. You know why that could be? I didn't say it was. Don't leave here saying that. I said it could be. You know why it could be? What do y'all think I do all week? I'm trying to put stuff together that's broken with these members. I'm knocking on doors. I'm seeing people. I'm on the telephone. I am connecting 6 other days a week. You want to know why I don't want to miss 4:30 on Sunday? You need to see me here. You ought to want to see your pastor here. But you ought not want to see me here any more than I ought to want to see you here, and any more than you ought to want to be seen here. Why? It tells the body whose side I'm on that I'm not indifferent to it. I said to my wife tonight, would you check me in? I've got 2 people I've got to see, and I got to go now. I don't want it to be thought, well, Brother Wayne wasn't there. And I mean this with kindness. You understand this, don't you? Folks, when we have something and the elders aren't here, you begin to even whisper. I wonder where our elders were. When we have something and the deacons aren't here, you begin to whisper, where are the deacons? Sometime you're going to have something and Brother Wayne ought to be here, but I don't want you asking where he was. I want to go ahead and tell a bunch of people, and I'm not going to be there, and I want it known where I'm at. You say, well, is that required? May not be required, but in my heart it's necessary. I don't ever want you to think that my heart, body, and soul is devoted to the kingdom of God through the Morningside Baptist Church, and the moment you think I'm indifferent, other people will begin to become indifferent because they didn't see the pastor. And somebody somewhere will become indifferent because they didn't see you. And by the way, choir, same way with your choir rehearsal. It ought to be said, I tell you, when that brother or sister's not at choir rehearsal, you can guarantee they're sick, they're working, or it's family vacation time, they're on vacation. That's what ought to be said about them and orchestra. It ought never be said, well, they come when it's convenient. They come half the time. Folks, this is not about building up the church. This is about maintaining your spiritual health. If I tell you that I am aggressively staying focused on the kingdom of God, but I am not protecting my heart from indifference, that is a joke. In order to keep my heart focused, I got to be sure that I'm not becoming indifferent. Are you with me? Number 3, verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now the third thing I want you to notice, Jesus seems to indicate labor is required for fruitfulness. Jesus associates those two things. Now, I didn't say that. There it is in the text. Read the text. Let your Bible speak to you. Labor is required for fruitfulness. Now, folks, God can grow a crop any time without you and me. Do you agree with that? He really can. But it's amazing that if God gives you a field and you work the field, it's amazing what the crop looks like when you join in something that God associates, and God associates labor with fruitfulness. Now, I never was a part of it. My mother was. I had to work in what we called it the garden, meaning the vegetable garden. I never did fool with flowers. Not anything wrong with people that do. Mama did. But the more Mom worked in the roses, the more beautiful were the roses. Why? Because labor and beauty of a rose garden are associated. And it didn't take too long if we became indifferent, if we quit hoeing out the garden, we quit plowing it when it was young, it didn't take long, the grass took it over. And the more we worked the garden, interestingly, it would grow vegetables, and we would can and or freeze. In the early days, we literally had a canner. I remember turning that thing and sealing those lids on those aluminum cans. Later on, we canned in glass jars, and later on, we got a freezer, and we froze vegetables and then gave no telling what to people because it was a fruitful garden because labor and fruitfulness. My dad worked it faithfully. My mother worked it faithfully. I worked it when I had to and was made to. And the more we labored in it, the more fruitfulness we had. Folks, that's the way it is with your spiritual life. And folks, telling God, I'm going to tip my hat. Lord, I'm going to leave you a few dollars on Sunday. I give more than I bet many. That's not Wayne talking. That's the scenario. And I've been, well, man, I go Christmas, Easter, and as often as I possibly can. And I tip my hat to God, and I tell him how wonderful I am, and that I also helped somebody at work that had cancer. And I just feel real good about myself. Folks, as long as I have health in my body and there's a Jesus on the throne and his kingdom is not completed yet, then I ought to want to be laboring in his kingdom. It is the only labor I know of that you're sending rewards ahead of you, and it brings fruitfulness according to what Jesus said to Peter. Peter popped off one time and said, well, Lord, we've given all. And Jesus said, Peter, who do you know, and this is paraphrase, who do you know that's given all that didn't get a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come? Folks, we're laboring not just for fruitfulness now, but we're laboring for the life to come. We're doing that because we love him. We believe his kingdom is the most important work on planet Earth. That's why everybody ought to want to be a part of God's church, and everybody in God's church ought to want a job. Tell me what I can be doing. I mean, if it's greeting people, I'll greet people. I'll drive a bus. I'll do anything just to help in the work of God's kingdom. Laboring is required for fruitfulness. Look at verse 38. After he said to the disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In verse 38, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Do you catch it? Here's your fourth one if you're going to maintain spiritual health. Prayer is vital for fruitfulness. You got to pray. Boy, I've often wondered in my life and yours if the Lord said, now look, y'all don't know this, but I'm keeping up with this. Let me show you what your prayer life looks like. I've been keeping up with it. Here's how much you've prayed. What does your prayer life look like from heaven's view? Jesus connects prayer with fruitfulness. I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest. Prayer has everything to do with fruitfulness, just like labor does. You want to labor just like it all depends on your labor. You want to pray knowing that it all depends on the God who's the God that can do things. And his promise was that the prayer of his children avails something much. So if you want to maintain your spiritual health, you're going to pray. You're going to pray because it's God who can make your life fruitful. Every one of us wants a fruitful life. We want our life to count for God. Robert Murray McShane was one of the most fantastic Christians you'll ever read about. He died at age 27, and he made an impact in 27 years that people still write books about till this day. Someone made the observation that the difference in Robert Murray McShane and many of the rest of us is this. When Robert Murray McShane was called by God through death to come to heaven, he's been missed ever since. And when God calls some of us, there'll be two or three people around us only to miss us. Folks, be honest before God and be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, is my life really impacting the lives of others for the gospel, for the kingdom? There's a fifth and final thing I want to give us in the verse 38. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, notice, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, he's called us earlier in the text, you see, to labor. So here's the final one. As we labor, Jesus tells us to pray for more laborers. And I ask each of us the question. How long has it been since you, as a member of Morningside Baptist Church, hopefully as a laborer, you have said to the Lord, Lord, we need more laborers. We're asking you to send us laborers. This morning, did you happen to see some folks in orchestra that maybe a couple of people that you know, But you hadn't normally seen them in orchestra. If I'm not mistaken, Matthew, did I see you in orchestra this morning? Tony, did I see you in orchestra this morning? Matthew, did you have a saxophone? Tony, did you have a clarinet? Did y'all like that? Wouldn't it be good, though, if they didn't have to come out of choir? You reckon there's anybody else in all of Valdosta, Georgia that plays a saxophone or a clarinet? There might or might not be anybody at Morningside Baptist Church that does anyone. Matthew may be the only one that can play a saxophone, and Brother Tony might be the only one that can play a clarinet, but I just somehow think that there's somebody else in this town who may very well know God that knows how to do that. Do you ever get serious about praying that the Lord would send us laborers for this group? Laborers for this group? Folks, at one time in the life of this church, since I've been your pastor, we could sing 100 voices. You reckon there's anybody else that can sing in Valdosta, Georgia? And wouldn't it be fantastic if the Lord said, there's not a saved person in this town that can do what you're wanting, Pastor, but there's some lost people there. Why don't you go tell them about me and we'll just save them and send them in there to do that? Any way God wants to send the laborers, we'll take. Amen? Have you prayed for laborers? Brother John, would it just kind of bend you out of shape if the Lord wanted to send us some people who can teach and be outreach directors? And could you handle that? Y'all reckon that'd be pretty good to do that? Well, folks, believe it or not, other than the fact that David, too, is a member of the fellowship, it is not really his place to pray for laborers here, only as because he's a member of the body. And it's not his place to pray really for additional workers in the Sunday school, except as a member of the body, it is our place. He said, pray ye. Jesus said, I'm telling you to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. I wonder right tonight, do we have all the laborers we've even asked for? Are we serious about it? See, if you're not serious about maintaining your own spiritual health, you're not concerned about the health of God's church. And we maintain spiritual health when we aggressively stay focused on Jesus, when we protect our hearts from indifference, when we understand that labor is required for fruitfulness and prayer is vital for fruitfulness. And when we understand that while we're laboring, Jesus tells us to pray for more laborers. You see, he wants us to follow his lead. Would y'all think that's probably accurate, that Jesus wants us to follow his lead? Would you think so? Well, he identified the problem. And in the text, Jesus said, we got a big need. There's not enough people. That was his identifying the problem. And so having had identification of the problem, he did some intercession. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. So we got identification and we got intercession. But then he calls us for involvement. We pray not only for the lost, but we pray for additional laborers to come into the harvest. Lord, we need help with the work over here. That's the way we pray. And we're just biblically minded enough and simply minded enough to believe that God still loves his kingdom, his church, his people, and will still answer prayer. And folks, it begins with an understanding that he is wanting us individually to maintain our spiritual health. Because Morningside Baptist Church is not as healthy as her pastor or her staff or her elders. Morningside Baptist Church is as healthy as we are as individual parts of this body. What do you need to do tonight by way of commitment to make your health stronger than it's been? Without anybody moving around, would you bow your head for just a moment? Father in heaven, We've heard sermons, we've read scriptures, we've sung songs, and we've been through the motions so many times, we forget that there is a moment of decision where we must decide, do we want our lives to carry on, skating on thin ice, hoping to arrive at a destination? Or are we those who really understand that as the great physician, you know our health or lack thereof, and you know whether or not we're serious about staying focused on Jesus. You know whether or not we're protecting our heart from indifference so much to claim our attention. Lord, some of us have gotten not only tired in the work, but we seem to have been tired of the work, and we've forgotten that labor is required. Now, we don't have to do what somebody else does, but we have to do all we can do that you've gifted us to do, that we're capable of doing if we're going to be fruitful, and that prayer is vital. And you told us that while we labor, you said we ought to be the ones that's praying that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. Tonight, oh God, we want to be a better laborer. And we want to pray as a people tonight that the Lord of the harvest would send us laborers. Lord, when you send them, don't let us complain about them. Let us try to get harnessed up with them so we can be effective as we labor together in your kingdom service. There's a whole future in front of us, and there is a world out there that's white unto harvest. Give us a burden for them. And Lord, I pray that the spirit of those verses, as only the Holy Spirit can, would even take the spirit of those verses and begin to shower and saturate and permeate the fellowship of people known as the Morningside Baptist Church, and, oh God, would begin to touch the hearts of people who are not a part of this fellowship, but in your heart you know ought to be. Would you, Lord, have your way tonight in us individually? And would you continue to make of your church what you would have it to be? And may it be said when you've called us into your presence that we stayed focused and we did not become indifferent. Bless this people now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. We're going to stand together. Brother David is going to lead us. This altar is open for you to come and pray.